For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, Romans 8:15. A definition of fear is apprehension, dismay, alarm, dread, terror, fright, panic. Some results of fear can be anxiety, solicitude, depression, and concern. Fear is the lacking of trust and the strength of one's faith. Fear strikes at the heart of people emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Fear is used as a tool of control, whether it's through the temptations from the evil one or another person who feels that what they want or what they think is good for you should be the way that it is. They'll use different methods or say different things to install fear, to give you apprehension and alarm and dread and panic. This throws you off your game. It throws you into a cycle that's hard to get out of because the intensity just continues to increase, pulling you further and further down. Today, there are many who live in constant fear. Fear of long-term COVID-19 injection complications, of the next bioweapon being unleashed, of being alone, of losing their sons and daughters to the whims of the culture, and of losing their livelihoods. The level of fear are high. And for many, there does not seem to be a way to fight the fear, and so they give way to it. Fear has changed them. Fear has changed the world. There's anxiety and concern for what is going on in these days, and the fear of the unknown, pressure to conform our thoughts and beliefs, and great pressure on our families. There is the general overall feeling of chaos and confusion, and every day it's meant to discourage you a little more, until submission seems the only alternative. Fear does this. It seeks to control your thought process. It hopes to unload guilt on you, even when you have nothing to feel guilty about. This all weighs heavily on a person. Burdensome is what it is. And even many Christians are finding these days hard to cope with, struggling with what to do as they let the fear of the unknown and the fear of man set the pace for their day. Fear does not pull at you and leave. No, it leaves scars behind, often disfiguring and life-changing. We are watching our freedoms once given us by God, our inalienable rights, being stripped from us one after another. And it is by those who are being or have been deceived and bought into the lies circulating out there, and even starting most of them themselves, that are the voices we hear each day telling us how we are to live if we want to survive in these days. Notice that there is no encouragement to thrive. Watch out for them. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Fear is a range of emotions, apprehension, terror, dread, suspicion of impending peril, not knowing the unknown. As much as fear can turn our lives upside down if we let it, there is a fear that is the complete opposite of the fear that the world wants you to know. And that fear is called a reverent fear. And through it, we open ourselves up to God. It does not seek to master us in such a way that we are defeated and lost in the chaos, but it gives us direction and stability and hope. Why hope? Because when we consider the holiness and the faithfulness and the righteousness of God, we have also to consider how big and powerful that He is. And we have to remember He says what He will do, and He does what He says. The awareness of who He is brings upon us feelings of awe, of worship, of adoration, amazement, trust, and love. It increases our faith, and it supports us when times are hard or when the world feels like it's closing in on us. When you read the pages of Genesis and of the beginning of time, you don't read that God lifted His hands and constructed this or that. No, what you read is, God said, and it was. He spoke creation into being. He set the foundations of the earth. He held the waters of the earth in the palm of His hand. It is then that you begin to understand just how great our God is. And because of His holiness and righteousness and justice, when sin entered into creation, He made a way for us to escape the judgment and the punishment that would accompany any who continued to live in sin and refused God's gift of salvation. He offered up for His creation a sacrifice. his son, Jesus, who is the Son of God. And he would come to the earth to redeem the captive of sin, to set that captive free. Jesus came to die as there were none sinless in the world, and the sacrifice needed had to be spotless. Jesus, in the garden, the night of his betrayal, he prayed, and he knew what lay ahead. He knew the conditions of people's heart. He knew that the pain he would endure. The Bible says he sweat drops of blood, and yet fear did not grip him. He did not get anxious. Rather, he prayed. And what could his prayer have sounded like? Father, I know I said I'd do this, but I can't. I just can't. No. No, he asked that the cup may be taken from him, the cup of wrath, bitter and painful, as it was filled to the brim with the sins of men, you and I, and those yet to come. But then he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Could it have been easy for him? Absolutely not. Never having sinned in his life, though he knew not fear. He had never had reason to. He had always had faith, trusted, and the love of the Father who was one with him. He had no reason to fear what lay ahead. He had been given the authority and the power to lay his life down, and he knew without a doubt that he would pick it back up again. He knew. He knew every bit of what would happen to the body that he was in, and yet he went willingly to the cross. He conquered fear. He knew how his body would react to it, and yet he conquered fear, proclaiming his trust in God the Father when he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He was the master, and fear had no place in him. He was held not by the nails, but by the trust and faith in the promises of God the Father. He conquered, overcame the temptations, and he persevered. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was the only one who could do what needed to be done, and sometimes we may find ourselves in that situation, and we need to seek the Holy Spirit and draw on his strength and power and wisdom. Romans 8 and 15 reminds us, we did not receive a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear. You received the spirit of sonship. And John reminds us in 1 John 4, 16 and 18 that God is love, and there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And one who fears is not made perfect in love. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they hid from him in the garden. Fear will cause us to hide, whether from someone or something. It causes us to build walls around ourselves and to separate ourselves from others, especially those who want to help us and to walk with us. Fear is of the devil in these days and in our times, and it is being pushed by wolves in sheep's clothing. And that is why Scripture warns us to test the spirits and to seek discernment, that we may know the ways of God, and in following them, we will know when truth or falsehood presents itself. Dress yourself in the armor of God. And when you become fearful, remember what Jesus went through to bring you out of the darkness that held you captive, and place all of your faith and your trust in the one who has saved you for himself. Do you love me? Jesus asked Peter, not once, but three times. He was asking Peter, do you trust me, Peter? Do you have faith in me, Peter? These are the foundations of love. These are the foundations of our individual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who already has endured the worst of what men, people have to offer. And so let us throw off the chains that bind us to fear and stand as the children of the living God, trusting and standing on the promises made by our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Place your trust in him and pray for an increase in faith to get you through these days, because there are others out there that do not yet know it, as neither do you, but they're going to need you and to hear about the strength that holds you up. There are many that need to hear the truth of what is happening in these days, and not only that, the truth of what is hiding in the darkness in these days, but even more importantly, they need to hear the truth, hear about the way, and come into the light of life. They need to come out of the world and taste life walking with He who gave it to them. You may not be able to escape what is coming your way, and we are all aware of the persecution that is building against Christians around the world. But you can prepare your hearts for what comes, and the only way that that will happen for you is to put your trust in Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other hope, because men cannot be trusted to rescue you. They have not the power to overcome deceit themselves. Be strong in the Lord. Look up and know from where your help comes from. There is a hope in all of this, and His name is Jesus Christ.